It's just a distraction. It's just a distraction, just a distraction. He turned to Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are not mindful of the things of God. Come on, somebody say the things of God. But you weren't about the things of men. Come on, it is a dilemma. See, a flat tire, a hangnail, a bad hair day, a headache, a financial pressure, a disagreement, an offense. Come on, a rude interruption in your life, a confrontation. Come on, a cold, a simple delay in traffic. Come on, these are all distractions. See, many times in life we deal with distractions in our life. Come on, nobody will say amen, but you'll say, oh me, amen. Come on, it is often when we allow a distraction to become a crisis in our life that our eyes come off of Jesus. See, many times there are many things in our life. It could be just a flat tire. It could be something we're going through. It could be, I got a headache. I don't feel like it. I don't like getting up. Something's going on with me. And it really, all it is just a distraction. And in life, we deal with many of them. And if we do not know how to deal with the distractions of life, what they become in our life are crises. You can say it. It become a crisis. It was a molehill, but now it's a mountain. Because we allow the little things or the little distractions or the little foxes to spoil the vine. And I can tell you, many people often deal with distractions and they do not know how to go overcome or deal with the small distractions, and they become major distractions in their life. It is because of this simple reason, because everybody does not know what the will of God is for your life. Amen? God is not looking for everybody to know what he's told you. You got to know it. And you got to live it out. Our challenge is we have to deal with these distractions. Well, Jesus was on assignment. I'm going to be the Savior of the world. I'm giving my life for you. And here comes Peter. When he hears the news, says, you got to be killed. And you're going to die for us. And Jesus saying, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to raise on the third day. And Peter like, that ain't happening. They can kill everybody, but they ain't killing you. And he thought he was doing a good thing. He thought he was doing something good for Jesus because everybody wanted to stay alive. But the reality is he was an offense to the Lord, because the Lord was on what? Assignment. See, some people don't know your assignment. They think it's all right. Well, you going to church? I don't know. But that's your assignment. And we got to deal with that. Our assignment. Amen? Come on, many times people don't know your assignment. And here Peter is, because he don't know the full plan that God has. He's saying, we're not going to let you die. We're going to keep this from happening to you. I'm your friend. I'm your thick and thin. I'm your ride or die. I'm with you. And sometimes we don't even know we are being a what? An offense. I can't get to where I'm going because you're stopping me. You hinder me. You think you're doing me good, but you're really hurting me. Come on, that's why when Judas came up to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus kissed him. He said, Mom, you my friend. Because now I'm getting into the plan and the will of God for my life. But he rebukes Peter, who thought he was his real friend. Say, I'm with you. And Jesus calls him out his name. He says, Satan, you're an offense to me. I'm trying to get somewhere and you're trying to stop me. I know you mean well, but that's not what God wants for my life. Come on, it is a challenge. It is pressing for us to know what is our assignment in this life. Come on, because if people don't know where you're going, they can't appreciate where you come from. And they'll watch you struggle. They'll watch you and think they're trying to protect you. And they'll watch you say, well, let me pull you out of this relationship. And they'll watch you and say, let me get you out of this situation. And they'll watch you, let me bail you out of this. And really all they're doing is hurting your life. Just hurting you. They think they're doing you well because they're worrying about your humming the things of men. But the reality is, when are we going to be concerned about the things of That was the dilemma. Come on, Peter was very concerned about his well-being. He was very concerned about his well-being. But what about God's will for our life? Amen? We got to deal with distractions. Got my illustration here. I guess we're about equal. All right, y'all want to play a game with me this morning? I know y'all in church and you got your Sunday's best on. Alright, so y'all ever, this side right here has to keep the ball from getting and staying on your side, but this side got to keep the ball from getting and staying on your side. If it stays on your side, how many people we got on this side? Okay. Alright, they in the game already. Alright. All right, where Brother Peter at? All right, you count. Because as many times as it misses and you figure out who it is on each side, they all owe me a dollar. You got it? You keep count. It might not get back there. It might not get back there. But are y'all ready? All right. All right. You keep a score up here, Peter? All right. So far, it's two. They've lost two. Nothing. Three. They still can't get it. Stay. Keep it on it. Four. Now it's over there. That's five. One. Somebody got competitive here. That's six, two, seven, three, 8-4. Hey, Brother Peter, you all supposed to take turns. Seven. Don't worry about it, Javon. Like, I'm taping, man. All right. Eight. First one to 10. All right. Nine. All right. Yeah.
10. All right, 11. That breaks the tie. Take my ball and go home. Now that I know we got some competitors in here, boy. Woo! Y'all broke me out in a sweat. Good God. Woo! Wow. Did you keep score, Brother Peter? Wow. Thank y'all. Y'all did better than I thought. Y'all all right? I'm going to give you a chance to catch your breath and take your notes. You all right, Javon? Boy, hey, competitive. It was friendly. We need that. Bring something out in us. Amen. Amen. The reality is, this became a distraction for some of us. It became a distraction. And sometimes we start out calm, cool, and collected. But the distraction sometimes brings the best out in us. But then sometimes it brings out the worst in us. And we find ourselves dealing with stuff we didn't know we'd be dealing with when I got there. I didn't know I had to deal with this when I got up this morning. But now it's become a what? Distraction. And many times that's what we deal with in our life. Thank you, John. It's distractions. See, when Peter got out of the boat, he was fine as long as he had his attention on Jesus. And many times it's the same way with us in our life. As long as we keep our focus, the winds were still going. The water was still raging, but he had what? He had the right focus. It was turmoil all around him, but he had the right focus. And many times in our life, and many of you, it was stuff going all around you. But you kept your focus. Your head didn't move one way. Amen. Kept your shoes on too. Amen. Latanya was giving it to you. I'm going to tell you. She said, oh no, oh no. Oh no, we're going to get this thing. I love it. But sometimes that's the way it is in our life. Stuff is going all on around us. And all we're trying to do is keep our... Come on, Peter got out of the boat. His intention was, I'm ready to please Jesus. If it be your will, bid me come. And here I come. And he didn't know when he got out there would be major distractions. And he was fine until he let his mind and his focus get on the distractions. And sometimes in our life, if we can allow our hearts and our minds not to get caught up with the distractions of life and keep our focus, we can fulfill God's will for our life. Oh, people get distracted by relationships because he look good and he want my number. He may have want your number, but you don't know why he want your number. And sometimes it's just a distraction because God has called you and now you're losing your focus. Come on, maybe it's an object I want. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's something I want and now it's got my attention. But God's called me to something greater. And to do something more, here I've got distracted. Was faithful at one time, committed at another time, but now something happened and it's just distracted me. We try to keep our focus. We try to maintain everything. I know Peter in all his heart wanted to please the Lord, but this wind and this water and my life, they ain't working out here. And all it is was a distraction. And Peter looked at the winds and he looked at the waves. And the scripture says he began to what? Began to go down. And many times that's what we do when we are distracted. We go down. We know to do right. We want to do right. But I got all of these distractions. It has got me going down. And many times that becomes our challenge. The distractions that we deal with. Come on, the intrusions that intrude into your life that you didn't expect it. The unexpected things. Come on, the $400 water bill. I didn't expect that. Come on, that $150 ticket because you've been speeding. Well, I didn't expect that. Then maybe you shouldn't have been speeding. Well, it becomes a what? A distraction. And sometimes that throws everything off. I'm faithful in this and I've been faithful in that, but now this has come to my attention. I don't know what to deal with. It's a distraction. It's keeping me from God's best. Come on, Peter experienced an exhilarating feeling to be able to walk on the water until he got distracted. And many times we have gotten to a place spiritually where we have seen God do amazing things. And here comes a distraction. Didn't expect it, wasn't looking for it. Now it's all in my face. And how am I going to deal with it? Come on, people do not want to be faithful. People do not want to be committed. It is because of the distractions and the pull of life that sometimes gets people out of where God wants them to be. Come on, and we have to understand that if Jesus himself, and the scripture says the servant is not greater than the Lord. And if Jesus himself dealt with temptation, if Jesus himself dealt with Satan himself, manifesting in Peter, his faithful one, what kind of distractions you think we deal with? What kind of obstacles you think get in our way when we're just trying to do the will of God? Come on, I'm just trying to hang in there. I'm just trying to live for God and do what he's called me to do. And this keeps popping up in my face. For we have to understand if Jesus dealt with temptation, if he dealt with these kind of obstacles, we deal with them too. Come on, it's not that we are unique in what we deal with. It's not that the challenge that we got that nobody else has ever dealt with. It is because it is after us and our focus on what God has called us to do. And people deal with distractions all kind of ways. Some people fold up and say, oh, I don't want to deal with it. Come on, see people run from it. Oh, I'm running. Some people try to confront it and do it the wrong way. People deal with distractions all kind of ways. Some people get aggressive with it. But some people get passive with it. Well, it's just going to happen. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Come on, the scripture says the kingdom of God suffer in violence. But the violent take it by. He ain't going to give it back to you. See, many times when he comes and tries to intrude into your life, it's not to give it back to you. It's to take it from you. He start with our peace. Then he work his way all the way until he can get to your very soul. Come on, that's why when Job was going through what he was going through, and God says, you can touch him, but don't touch his soul. And some of our fight and our battle is that stuff don't touch our soul. Don't mess me up in my mind. Don't mess me up in my heart and keep me from being who God has called me to be. Come on, we got to be careful of that. Come on, as followers of Jesus, we will always face distractions. That's your point number one. We face it in our ministry. We face it in our homes. We face it on every area that the enemy can get in and get a foothold. Come on, Jesus was never expecting Peter, his faithful one, to step up and say, nah, we're not going to let you do it. Nah, we're not going to let this happen to you. He wasn't expecting that. This just happened, and what it did was it took a paradigm shift. Because now Peter understood, this ain't no earthly thing. And sometimes we want everything to just be what? An earthly thing. Well, how you feel about it? Well, how you feel? Well, how you feel? How you feel? It become an earthly thing. Yeah, you might be hurt. Yeah, you might be uncomfortable where you are. You might even be challenged where you are. But don't mean that's not the will of God. Come on, don't tell me Joseph didn't want to get out of that pit. Don't tell me Joseph didn't want to get out of that jail. Don't tell me he didn't want some negative stuff to happen to his life not to happen in his life. But what he understood in the end, he said, it was enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for... Come on, sometimes we look at stuff and say, man, this is the worst. This is bad. And really all God is doing is trying to work this thing for your good. Come on, how is it that we always only want to receive good and never receive anything bad? Come on, a battery doesn't work unless it has a positive and a negative. You need both components. But many times in life, people have sold you a good that is the positive. And we're good about the positive. But sometimes you need the counter of the negative electrolysis to rejuvenate the whole thing in the package so that you get the positive charge that you need in your life. Amen? Come on, it helps us to appreciate God and to appreciate where we are when we go through some things, when we deal with distractions and difficulties in our life. It is God's expression to say, I'm with you. And if I didn't let you go through this test, there'd never be a testimony of how I kept you through this. And many times we lose sight in the fog. And we don't see our way through because of so many distractions in our life. Come on, people pulling us this way. People talking about you this way. You offended on this end. And this person didn't come through you on this end. And then now you're dealing with all of this turmoil on the inside. And God's just saying, I'm about to work this for your good. Come on, just get your right focus. Just get your right adrenaline going to keep moving forward and not back up and say, and give place to the devil and let him have his way in your life. But stand your ground. And let the distractions come that may. May the difficulties come that may. But God is faithful to deliver us from them all. Come on, we've got a testimony only because we've been through some tests. Amen? We've been through some situations. Amen? Come on, I remember a preaching assignment years ago. I'm at church about to come home. And I get a phone call, your house is on fire. And I got to preach that night. My house is what? And Flo's there. She has Uriah and Azrael. Azrael's a baby. And the house is on fire. But yeah, I got to preach. And I'm trying to say, well, if I tell them my house caught on fire, that's a good enough reason. And nobody ever out here understand that the house is on fire. I ain't going to be there. And sometimes we deal with distractions. It may not be that drastic. It may be something you can get over. But nonetheless, we still have to what? Deal with it. We still got to process it. But where are we going to stay at tonight? Well, where are you going to stay? Well, who's going to fix it? Is it a total loss? Come on, when distractions happen in your life, you try to categorize it. Like when it's a hurricane or a storm, they say, well, this is a tropical 5 or this is a tropical 4. We try to categorize the storm and weigh the damage and look what's happened here. Well, I lost my job and I lost this and this happened to me. And we try to categorize how it happened so that we'll know how to respond. Well, that's what they do for FEMA. They say, well, what category is it? Is it a total loss? How many people lost their lives? How many homes were destroyed? And we categorize the distractions by what's been devastated around us so that we can know how to respond. Do I need the insurance company involved? Do we need first aid? Do we need all the people to come in from the Red Cross? What do we need here? And many times that's what distractions do. It try to get us to lose our focus. I got something to do. But your house on fire. Your family's displaced. Ain't no Red Cross. Ain't no March of Dimes. Ain't no Five Below to come to our rescue either. You're in crisis. And see, the challenge is when we allow our distractions to become crises in our life. This is where we have the quandary. This is where we have the battle within. And knowing how to respond. Well, he just quit me. He don't want to be with you no more. That's because you wasn't doing what he wants you to do. So how do I respond? Because now I'm distracted because I love him. I care about him. And well, how do I respond? See, that is our dilemma, knowing how to deal with distractions and how to respond. Well, I don't know if I, in hindsight, what I have done and how I would have responded. All I know is it was a distraction. We didn't have a hotel yet. We didn't have all the resources yet. Didn't have the insurance company yet. But yet, we're going to still make it. Nobody died. Everybody's still intact. We still got our right mind. Amen. All right, let's move on. Amen. Amen. Come on, sometimes we just got to know how to categorize it so that we can know how to respond to every distraction. Come on, somebody don't show up who should have been here for ministry, but they ain't here. Where are they? How do we react? Well, let's have a pity party. No, let's get angry. No, what are we going to do? Come on, let's not lose our focus and respond the way God would have us to respond. Well, that's all Jesus did. He didn't kirk off all, in so many words, he didn't kirk off all Peter. Even though he knew Peter was out of order. He didn't chastise Peter in a way that many would have chastised him. He just said, you know what? You got the heart of or the things of men, not the things of God. Let's just leave it right there. Because Satan using you. I know you mean the best, but this is not the best. We've got to learn how to deal with things when they distract our lives. Come on, everything don't always go perfect. Look at you. Just look at you. It just didn't go perfect. It was all right, but it didn't go perfect. Sometimes you got to laugh at yourself. Amen. Because they laughing at you. Amen. Come on, we got to understand that as Christians, we deal with distractions. Come on, with distractions in our ministries, distractions in our walk with God, distractions in our homes, and anything that can pull against your call that God has on your life. See, as we desire to grow in Christ, we will not be without disturbances or interruptions. There will always be things that cause distractions. Come on, I just want us to get that. so that we're not so unaware, and so that we're not so caught off guard when something's trying to distract your life, when something's trying to get you out of order, when something's trying to take your focus. When your focus should be on this, you're thinking about this. Come on, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the... All right, I knew I'd wake you up there. Because what? You what? You distracted. You with me, but you thinking about them. We here, and you calling out other names. Come on, I offend myself when I call out New Life, but I'm here with Clint Christmas. Say, you here with us, but you calling somebody else name. Come on, we got to be careful. Because sometimes the enemy is he got subliminal messages trying to get our mind and get our attentions. Come on, sometimes it's not even what happens to us or what we go through. It's the thoughts of it. It's every time I think about, you was with who? And you did what? And that happened when? And you took what? It's gone. You done did it. It done happened. But yet in my mind, I'm still what? I'm still focusing on it. I'm still replaying it. Remember when he said that? Remember? Y'all know y'all good at that. Remember when they did that? Remember when that happened? Come on, sometimes we should just have a photo out before we have service so everybody can get that out your mind. Look what they said. Look how they did. Come on, because it's all trying to do what? Distract you. And we're hanging on the memories that we don't need to hang on to. We're hanging on the thoughts that we don't even need to hang on to. We're hanging on the situations in our life that we don't even need in our life. Come on, we just human. We made like that. We try to forget it. Some people try to push it under we try to suppress it. We try to do everything. But the reality is we got this photographic memory. We remember what we want, don't we, sister? We remember what we want. You could be having a good old time, everything going well, and then you remember something that you shouldn't have remembered. Come on, that we deal with. Come on, and nobody's exempt from that. We deal with that every day. And what it is the enemy tries to use that against us so that it distracts us. It makes us weary. Come on, remember the last time you gave that $1,000 at church? You ain't seen it since, amen? Still been struggling. Come on, the enemy has a way to try to make you remember. And remember things that you don't need to remember. And hold on to stuff that I need to let go. Because if I can let go, I can keep my focus. I can keep my focus. This tried to distract me. This tried to get me out of my mind. This tried to mess me up real bad, but I got to let it go so I can get to where God wants me to go. Come on, Paul said it like this in Philippians 4. He says, forgetting about those things which are behind and press towards the things that are before us. Easy to say, but not always easy to do, because the enemy has a way. The scripture says he's the accuser of the brother. That's his job. He don't never want to let you forget how you messed up or how you broke up. He don't want you to forget, because if I can keep you remembering that, I can keep you distracted. I can keep you out of place. I can keep you out of pocket. I know you want to do well, but you out of pocket now because of what happened to you. Come on, we've got to understand that there's always things that the enemy tries to do to hinder our walk with the Lord. Things that would pull us away from his straight and narrow path and the narrow road that he's called us to. Things that would distract us from being the kind of people, hear me now, the kind of people that God desires us to be. Come on, things that cause us to lose focus and desire for the need to fulfill the will of God. Well, were you going to church? I don't know. I don't care. Because of what? I've lost my focus. And sometimes all we had to do is find out where we lost it. point, in 1 Kings, I believe, chapter 4, there's this story of the floating axe. And the man's, he's axing or cutting trees with the borrowed axe head. And the axe head falls off into the river. And the man's losing it because it ain't his. And he goes to the man of God. He goes to Elijah. He says, I've lost the axe head. It wasn't mine. And Elijah says, where did you lose it? And sometimes that's the only question we need to ask ourselves. Where did you lose it? Where did it go wrong? Where did it go south? When did you change your mind about how God is to you? What happened here? Come on. And sometimes that's all it takes. And he said, I lost it here. And that's all Elijah needed, was to find out where he lost it, to help him retrieve where he lost it. And many times that's the way it is in our life. Just, where have I lost it? Where did I lose confidence that God can do what he said he could do? When did I lose hope that God, who called me, still called me, even though I'm going through this mess? Where did I lose it? When did I lose the confidence that I needed to sustain me in every area? When did I lose it? Where did it go? Come on, who's took that from me? Come on, what's got my mind so captivated that I can't keep my mind stayed on him? Come on, it's a serious issue for us. We got to find out, where did I lose it? So that God can help me bring it back. It ain't yours. It belongs to the Lord. Come on, we got to captivate ourselves to the place where we understand that God has called you. And when he calls you, his calling is without repentance. Somebody say, he's not repenting. He's not repenting. Come on, we can be regretful. We can be remorseful, but God never repents that he called us. Come on, the good news is that we can be victorious over distractions. Come on, Jesus had a battle against the same things we battle against. The scripture says he was tempted on all points, but never sinned. Come on, he never sinned. He never lost sight of the prize, of the goal. Come on, there were things which tried to hinder him from his mission, from the very beginning of his mission. He was hungry. Satan said, turn these stones to bread. Come on, he was depleted. He says, here, you can have it all. He had to deal with all kinds of distractions, all kinds of temptations in his life just to fulfill God's will. And we think we don't got to go through nothing. But the reality is we got to go through it. And Jesus helps us with the remedy of how to deal with our distractions in our life. Well, he had to battle against these distractions. He had to battle from the things that was happening from within. Because he didn't even want to go to Golgotha. He said, God, if it is your will, take this cup from me. I know y'all don't ever want to admit it. I know sometimes we'll never admit it. But sometimes we'll say, God, I don't want to do that. I ain't trying to do that. And he didn't even ask you to give your life. He just said, go through this hard time. Deal with this hardship. This difficult place. It can work for you. But yet we said, still, God, I don't want to do that. If it's your will, take this cup from me. Give it to somebody else. Oh, none of us are here because we wanted to be here. Lie if you want to. God has called us to this. We didn't just show up. We didn't come to know Jesus. We was called to this. And when you understand you've been called to this, sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes distractions happen in our life. And our challenge is to overcome the distractions so that they don't become crises in our life and we don't fulfill God's will for our life. Come on, God has a way for us. He called each and every one of us because he knows who we are and he knows what we need. Come on, every day we come and we show up for service, it's just not an exercise, a ritual. I want to hear what God has to say. there's obstacles in my way. There's winds blowing in my life. Come on, there's a boisterous wind of rain coming in my life. I need to hear what God has to say so that I can know how to what? Respond. Come on, a lot of times we just don't know how to respond to crises. Come on, we get on jobs or we go to certain places, we're doing a job, and sometimes we want to do what? Throw our hands up and tell the people, it must not be broke because I can't fix it. It must not be broke. But the reality is, it's a difficult place. It's a hard place. And we got to make a decision. Do we go in further? Do we work a little harder? Or do we throw our hands up? Come on, it happens a lot of ways for a lot of people. Because God knows there was a plan going in. And what would you, now what are you going to do with the plan when it didn't go the way you planned? Now what do you do? Well, that is our challenge, church. As believers, as Christians, as people who live for God, the knowing that he called us and you didn't call yourself. As much as you think you got here on your merits, you did not. God placed you. He called you. He ordained you. He predestined you. And he knows what you're going to go through. He knows who you're going to deal with. And sometimes we just have to make the right decisions and respond the right way. Peter was going down because he lost his focus. And some of y'all may be going down because you lost your focus. But his response was, Lord, save me. He didn't do a whole lot of rhetoric. He didn't go to John chapter 3:16. He just said, Lord, save me. And many times that is just the remedy. Because if we cannot do it for ourselves, only person who can do it for us is God himself. Amen? Come on, Jesus overcame temptations not by not submitting himself to the demands of the devil. And sometimes that is our quandary. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, not to the enemy. In other words, don't give in to it. Stuff happens. Situations happen that challenge our lives, but you don't give in to it. Because once you submit to the negativity of what's happening around you or to you, then guess what? You've given place to the devil to have his way, to toss you to and fro. Why? Because you can't get it out your mind. That's all Jesus did. He submitted himself to God. In the natural, it was hard. He had to fight through his temptation not to go to the cross. He had to fight through Peter saying, we're not going to let you die. He had to fight through all the obstacles of all the Sadducees and scribes and Pharisees around him just to overcome, to do what God has called him to do. And it took a lot out of him. And many times we go through this, and all we have to do is submit ourselves to God. Don't submit to the negativity. Sometimes people want to hold on to negativity because they think that's just how it's going to be. No, we can't submit to negativity. It might not look good, might not feel good, but it's going to work together for our good. It's the only promise we got. That's the only promise we can hang on to, that even in the midst of our distractions and the things that come our way, is that God is going to work it together for our good. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, for my good.